let's go with a bonus situation.
It's like the end of Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm not afraid anymore.
But then there were so many sequels, they should have continued to be afraid.
Right.
Wait, does Nancy die?
I think she just doesn't show up after a while.
Okay.
Like she's like in the first.
No, Nancy dies in the Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
Doesn't she come back in like the 90s?
She comes back in Wes Craven's New Nightmare, but that's the one that takes place in the real world. So she's not Nancy. She's playing the actress Heather Langenkamp is playing herself.
Uh huh.
See, even now, we're not talking about Transformers. We're like, and what's this right turn? Here's the important thing.
I would very much like to see what's over that cliff over there.
Right. Nancy only made it 2 more movies. Aliens is a completely different genre. Aliens is a straight up action movie. It is not a horror movie anymore.
Here's the thing. I'm going to disagree with you slightly. And I'm only doing this because it actually recently came up on Matt Zoller Seitz's Twitter. Somebody was saying, like, it's sort of like a trope that people are like, yeah, so, you know, Alien is a suspense horror sci-fi movie. Aliens is an action movie. And yes, it is. But there's an hour of suspense before the part where she gets into a robot suit and fights the alien.
That's true, but this is a meaningless distinction.
Yes.
But it is much more like we're the squad going after the bad guys with our guns than it is, oh my God, we're going to die. Right.
Well, that makes sense by nature of the story. If they know there's a bad thing out there and they got to go kill it, as opposed to having that thing come after you and not knowing what it is in the first one. And I love action movies, and you know how I feel about horror. So I definitely think Aliens is on the horizon for me.
You'll be all about it.
I saw that there was an Aliens play.
What?
Oh, that's...
Wasn't
that
just a high school?
Oh, the high school.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, which was eventually endorsed by Ridley Scott and Sigourney Weaver and everyone, because it was apparently just so delightful.
Oh, this is cute.
That's one of those news stories where I'm like, did that happen in March 2020? And it feels like it happened 16 years ago.
2019. No, it was just last year.
Okay. Then yes, just last year.
No, 2020 has been 4 years long. It's
yeah. No. I think I meant, what's the other word that's like prototypical? You know. that's
atypical.
That's no the prototype comes first, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was getting it confused with archetype in my mind. We usually record during the daytime when I'm not sleeping.
I definitely feel
sorry.
Yeah. No, but like it is weird that like it's a different feeling recording at 8 p.m. than recording at 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah. I'm all jacked up on coffee.
My bad.
No, it's cool. It's cool. We're happy to have you.
Thank you for doing evening time. I appreciate it.
I know I'm required to talk about Harry Dean Stanton as the David Lynch guy on the show. He is one of the like 12 people whose last thing was Twin Peaks season 3.
Oh man.
Because David Lynch was getting all of the old cast to pop in, and like 5 people died between filming and the premiere. It was
holy shit.
Damn.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And Sean barely ever goes 90 or higher. Right. So
please this be Fight Club
the
next
third
movie.
Time. What's up?
Please let the next movie be Fight Club. That's a solid 100. Oh, it's on the list.
It is?
Yes. I've been
wait, really?
I'm pretty Fight sure Club. I swear I saw it on the list because I've just been waiting.
I saw Fight Club in the theater and there was no one there. It was an empty theater. I was lost in Queens. And we were like, well, let's see a movie. We know where this is.
I saw it like 4 times in the theater.
It's on the list. I'll figure out how it got, because I know I thought it was a sleeper hit and a DVD, a VHS thing at the time. So I will, when someone else is talking during You Can't Handle the Truth, I will at least figure out the basics. And hopefully that will compel Tony to give us number 379.
I have a quick charming anecdote.
Please.
About Brad Pitt.
About Colin. Colin, my husband, listens to this show every week, but he does it while he's doing other things. And so he misses important information, like that when we talk about Tony, we're talking about the actor Tony Goldwyn, who we believe is the invisible hand guiding our podcast by selecting the randomly generated numbers that create our subjects. Colin thought last week when we were like, Tony, you're on notice, that we were talking to the other winner of the auction item because we will have another guest in a few episodes in a month or so doing
John.
The same thing
His
that
name
Addie
is
did.
John.
And Colin thought that we were like, Addie picked Alien. That's a really good job. Other guests, you're on watch.
You're on notice, Tony.
So, John, our actual other guest, pick what you want. You paid for it.
Exactly.
Tony, you're still on notice.
Still on notice.
Tony, still on notice. Let's see how this goes. I think I would have won alone if it turned out that Robin did, in fact, own the DVD.
We do not.
Oh.
I believe
what
that
if
would
I
also
said
been a
you
company.
Did, though? What if I was like, dude, it's in there somewhere.
We're going to let Addie make all of the decisions for the rest of this video.
But what else did you watch?
I don't think anything. Oh, I watched Dr. T and the Women because this had Oscar buzz movie. So go listen. Do not watch that movie. It's a nightmare. Go listen to that episode. It's a good episode.
Every time I see that title, I'm like from the Muppets? No, that's Dr. T. haven't seen it.
Don't.
Next. Well, look, like next. The other night I was looking at, like, we have this the camera with an app and all that stuff for the baby monitor, and I'm looking at the monitor and I'm seeing something like moving along the outside of her crib.
Don't like it.
This fucking moment. Like, what do I do?
No, Camila. Oh my God, it's a face hugger.
But it turned out it was just like a hair on the camera. That was like,
oh my God.
But the way it looked like a poltergeist. Like the way it
was. You go in there with a bat.
A bat and holy water, and I bring in a priest. It's like, oh, wait, sorry. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Let's just relax. It was just a hair. It's just some dust. It's fine.
It's like this happened to me. The last house I lived in alone, I came home one night and the front door was wide open. And I literally like went up alongside the door and like dashed in and grabbed, like I had a bat by the door. So I grabbed it and I'm going through the whole house. And like, as I'm going, it's just becoming more and more obvious that I'm just an idiot and I left the door open that morning.
Oh my God. There were times when I was like living with roommates or whatever, and I would come home late and be to an empty house. I would go check closets by swiping a knife through them.
Oh my God. That did not work out very well for Hamlet.
That was the quickest Shakespeare reference to be that on point.
Like the point of the sword that went through Polonius's body.
I mean, if you're hiding in the closet, it's your own fault.
Judd Hirsch has the most and she has the least.
Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson, yeah.
Way better if it's Judd Hirsch.
I would watch the hell out of The Breakfast Club starring Judd Hirsch. Oh my gosh, we can map the cast of Taxi onto The Breakfast Club. Lloyd is obviously Dandruff Girl.
Oh my God.
Andy Kaufman is Anthony Michael Hall. It's great.
The guy is Emilio Estevez. The lady who remembers everything is Molly Ringwald.
And where's Christopher Tony Lloyd Danza? Is the teacher?
No, I think Christopher Lloyd is the Dandruff Girl.
Oh.
Oh, totally.
DeVito is the
yes,
teacher?
Yes, Danny DeVito.
Wait, did we say Tony Danza is Emilio Estevez, or who's Emilio Estevez?
I actually said that Tony Danza's predecessor, who was the guy who played Kanicki in Grease.
Oh.
I want Jennifer Grey. Like, I felt so bad that she didn't get, like, her career kind of got derailed after that. It's crazy.
Isn't she married to somebody famous and rich?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like I have seen people be like, yeah, her career went down the tubes, but she married up.
Good for her, I guess.
Jennifer Grey is married to Clark Gregg, Agent Coulson in the Avengers
cute.
Movie.
No way!
That is so cute!
That is very cute, adorable. But definitely not what I was thinking of.
Aw, that's adorable. I love that.
It really is.
I don't know why I find it so damn adorable.
Wow.
They separated amicably a month ago.
Damn it.
Aw, man.
Damn you. I'm sorry I brought it up.
No. Just bring me that little piece of beautiful news and just glorious fantasizing and just all these unicorns and just kill it right in front of me.
It's been a tough year, guys.
Ugh. I hate it here.
I don't know. Like,
does life,
my
what
marriage
does life
is
mean?
Great, so I don't know. But like, I feel like if my marriage were on the rocks, I'd be like, well, I'm going to tough it out so I'm not entirely alone.
Same.
Fight Club just barely won its opening weekend. I'm covering so that Tony isn't mad. Fight Club made $11 million and change October 15th of 1999. Double Jeopardy. Is that an Ashley Judd movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Was in its fourth weekend and still was right behind it.
Right, that was a big hit.
Dollars.
I searched far and wide across the globe for Double Jeopardy for the longest time. In the age before movies were like readily available on like Amazon or whatever, like, and I could not find it anywhere. And when I finally did, I was like a pig in shit. I was so
pissed. That's a movie you own on DVD?
No, I don't own any DVDs.
Oh, okay.
I don't keep physical media, but
Addie was reaching to her side, and I was like, "Is she grabbing her copy of Double Jeopardy within arm's reach?"
No, I'm trying to put away this damn melodica, which I blamed Liz for still having. I thought maybe she stole it. Sorry, Liz, it was in my house this whole time.
You know the last number one of the 70s? The last number one of the 1970s is
I was just going to say, I think it's the Pina Colada song.
And you're like, really? That's what the decade went out on? And then that song will be playing, and you'll be like, you're not Pina Colada. Like, you hate it until you're listening to it, and then you're like, okay, fine. Camille is looking at me like, no, I'm not.
I think you're way too kind to to escape, open parentheses, the Pina Colada song, close parentheses. Yeah.
And it's not going to be the same key as the original. I don't know what key it'll be in, but it'll be fine. Number one movie in America.
That sounds like the same key. I don't know.
I think it's probably lower, but it doesn't matter because it won't be like on the music, right?
No, it won't. I'm just going to leave it in. So a quick note is that because of Sean's somber opening last week's episode, I spent like 10 minutes trying to change the pitch of our theme song to make it sound more proper. But like, the truth of the matter is you need much better software than what I have to make that work. But I need to send you some of the attempts because variations were like, the way it makes specifically the audio clips sound, like the different ones where the guy says number one movie in America, so wobbly and weird. It sounds like there's a ghost.
Ooh, oh, like warped. Oh, no, yes. Thank you. Please, I need to hear it.
The number one movie in America.
Well, just sing so we have it for later. Sing the theme like it's, you know, the beginning of a gospel song that's going to get loud later. You know what I mean?
Wait, I thought you wanted a sad one.
That was what I meant.
You want a sad one? Okay. Number one movie in America.
Nice.
Yeah, we need
I'm really glad we have that in the camp.